Will the young people come and join me this morning? Come on, scooch up. You can sit next to Blake there, big guy. Good to see everybody. Caitlin, is there room for you? Scooch down. Could you move over, Ben, and make room for Caitlin there? Okay. Chris, I see you, buddy. Is that how far back you're going to sit, Zach? I am so glad to see everybody. How are you doing? Good to see you, buddy. Hey, Lucy. Why, I have the paper here. You know, very soon. Zachy, you can sit here, buddy. Is that room for you? Okay, can everybody see me? Okay. Do you know, I understand that very soon all of you are going to be graduating. You're going to be going from one grade into the next. What grade are you graduating from? Somebody, yes, Jenna? Fourth grade? Talia? Madison? Fifth grade? Okay. Fourth? Anybody else over here? What grade are you guys graduating from? Well, have you... From third? Okay. Oh, preschool. Okay, what jobs are you guys going to work at this summer? Did you guys get jobs yet? What? You're going to try to, okay. So what is job are you going to work at? Okay, what jobs are you guys going to do? Yes? That's something very much appreciated. What are you going to do, Charlotte? Clean your room. Okay, well, what are you going to do, like, what out jobs outside of the house that you're going to do to make money? What? Help your mom garden? Okay, anybody else? Are you going to get a job this summer?
Yes.
You are? What are you going to do? Brian, what are you going to do? What job are you going to get? Okay, but you know what? It's a good thing I brought the classifieds along with me today because you guys are not doing very good at
chocolate cake.
You're going to get chocolate cake? Yeah. Well, you better make some money to buy it, buddy. That's all I got to say. Well, you know, well, look, here's, I brought the classifieds along so that you guys could find some jobs. Oh, here's one. It's for an engineer, a systems engineer for Hewlett-Packard. Anybody an engineer? Okay, here's one. But you have to know Unix, Oracle, Scripting, Perl, PLS, QL, CC, Visual Basic, and Java. Who do you think, would you guys could apply for that job? No, it's just the classified. You want to apply for that job, Ben? Do you know Java? Okay, Ben learned a little Java. Do you have a car? Can you drive to the job? No. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're in trouble. Okay, why are you guys not looking in the paper to get these jobs? Why are you not looking? Jenna? Oh, because you guys aren't old enough? Why? Oh, because Izzy doesn't care. Okay, you know what? I'm just telling Izzy, don't give me that kind of answer so publicly. I'm just saying, because you will pay for that later. Yes, please. Is it because you're not old enough? You use that for fire. I have missed that. How many of you live at home still? Jack, put your shirt down, buddy. How many of you live at home still? Okay, I think all of you. Okay, I see hands. How long do you think you're going to live at home? How long do you guys think you're going to live at home? Yes. 30 more years? Oh. I don't know. Well, you know... You will probably, Chris, how long are you going to live at home? 10 more years, okay.
I'm having exactly 10 more years, because in 10 more years, I'll be 20.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? It takes a long time to grow up, doesn't it? And is that what you guys are telling me, that you need to grow up? It takes a long time to grow up, and you have to learn a lot of stuff, don't you? You have to learn a lot of stuff. And part of learning... is living with our parents, and they teach us the things that we know to grow up, don't they? And you know what else? The Lord teaches us. And so it's important to learn From your parents, you learn how to grow up, and you learn from your parents about your faith. And you learn how to follow Jesus. And when you know the difference between right and wrong, you learn that you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior for your very own self. Because you grow up and you're making your own decisions, you learn that. So there are many, many things that you guys still have to learn before you get some of these big fancy jobs, isn't it? Some of you might be getting jobs with doing all this stuff that I don't even understand what this stuff is. But you know what? You have to learn it yet. But you know what? Is that Jack? Jack. Jack, big guy. Jack, come here with Nanny. Come here with Nanny, buddy. Let me just tell you something. With the Lord, we live with our parents and we learn stuff. And then we graduate, and hopefully we graduate from college and we get jobs. And we're good witnesses for the Lord in those jobs. But you know what? With the Lord, we learn about the Lord, we learn about our faith, but we are always learning. I still learn. The Lord teaches me every day, and the Lord teaches everybody every day, and you will constantly learn from the Lord, so never stop learning about the Lord in your life, okay? Even when you graduate, even when you get to be old, okay? Joshy, look at me, big guy. Okay, so we are gonna pray, okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for our parents and that they will teach us what we need to know to grow up. We thank you that we can go to school. We thank you that we will graduate and be prepared for things in life. But we know, Father God, that we need you. And we pray always that we would learn about Jesus until the day we see you face to face. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Okay, Chris is already in the basket. All right, off you go. You know, some choices come easy, some choices come hard, and some choices become crystal clear with some kind of an urgency or an ultimatum. And that's going to be the kind of choice that I'm going to be talking about this graduation Sunday. It was high noon at the OK Corral on Mount Carmel. A confrontation took place between Ahab and Elijah. As far as God was concerned, enough was enough. The worship of idols and with the backing of the king and the queen, they had been introduced to the land. It was growing. Shrines, temples, altars to pagan gods could be seen everywhere in the land. And God gave Elijah authority to act. Now, Elijah had already said, "There will be no more rain until I say so." And Ahab and Elijah met. Well, don't you know, Ahab, from the get-go, accused Elijah of being the one of causing the drought problem. There's a famine in the land, and you, Elijah, are the man who brought this upon Israel. A choice needed to be made on Mount Carmel. Would the people live their lives for God or not? It was time to choose. Enough was enough. The issue needed to be decided. Now, don't get the picture in your mind of some beautiful mountain somewhere in the Rockies or some Appalachian beautiful tree-covered mountain. That is not what this mountain is like at all. Picture in your mind a dusty, barren plateau. Nothing can grow there. It's nicknamed the Place of Burning because sacrifices had been offered there for years. But the scene was set. A choice needed to be made. The terms were agreed upon. Whichever God sent a flash of fire to consume the sacrifice was the true God of Israel. Began early in the morning. The priests of Baal, with growing frustration, frantic frenzy, they were praying until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Not a word was heard from heaven. Then Elijah lifted his voice in prayer. Elijah had actually been taunting the priests of the pagan gods. You know, God, maybe your God's on vacation. He's hard of hearing. Perhaps he needs a hearing aid. Well, he didn't say that, but he could have. Well, maybe he's just not listening. He just did all that to antagonize the pagan priests. Then Elijah prayed. And when Elijah prayed, fire flashed. The people of Israel, who up until that moment had been content to sit on the fence, the people of Israel who had not lifted a finger to defend the one true God, they were now ready to sign on the dotted line. Well, who wouldn't have been after something like that? They fell on their faces and they shouted, "Jehovah is God." The central question that this story asks us is this: how long are you going to waver between two opinions? The Hebrew text is pretty interesting, these words. The Hebrew word for opinion, you see, speaks of branches or forks in a tree, a limb, or a road. The words falter or waver, they mean to limp, to halt, to hop, to dance, or to leap. Okay, so the literal translation of this question would be like this: how long will you keep dancing on one foot and then on the other while trying to straddle a widening branch or to take both forks of a road at the same time? Okay, that would be the literal translation of that question. Well, you can't do any of those things. It is yet again one of those moments of truth in the Bible where indecision is not just challenged, indecision is condemned. You remember the Lord said, "No one can serve two masters." It was decision time on Mount Carmel. It is decision time in many of our lives, and certainly in the lives of our graduates. You know, one of Yogi Berra's most famous quotes is this: "If you come to a fork in the road, take it." But we can't take both forks. The bottom line is a simple question: why do we waver? Why do we hesitate? Why do we procrastinate? Why do we delay? Why do we avoid? Why do we deny a whole host of things just so that we don't have to make clear choices and commitments about things that really matter in life? We see it all the time. You know, first we do that, then we do that. We're never fully in, we're never fully out. We always want to keep our options open. In matters of faith, never really doubting, but never really committed, always wavering between two opinions. What is wrong with us? If I had a full and final answer for that, someone would write a biography about me. So I don't have that answer, but I have some suggestions. And one of the suggestions that I have about that is that having good intentions are not enough in life. And that, what I mean by that is, to mean to do something is far different than actually doing something. We all know the old adage, the road to hell is paved by good intentions. You know, frequently I run into old members of the church that I haven't seen in a long time. And some are even BPOs, meaning burial purposes only. Now, I love these members, and they seem to like me okay. And life got in the way, and sometimes they just drift away. Now, almost invariably, they feel compelled to bring up something that I will not. And more often than not, it goes something like this: I've been meaning to come to church. Now, we all know that meaning to be in church and being in church are two different things. Don't ever confuse those two things with being the same. They're not. It would be like if I said to John, "I've been meaning to be faithful to you, honey." Well, that's not the same as actually being faithful, is it? I've been meaning to be in church. We'll have a talk later after worship. I've been meaning to be in church. That is not the same as being in church. Sometimes, though, the conversation is like this: "I've been thinking about you a lot." Well, you know, I appreciate that. You know, I really do. But the question that always brings to my mind is, well, have you been thinking about God a lot, too? You know, I read a story about a young man. He went to a card shop to find just the right card for his girlfriend, told the clerk he wanted something special. He selected a card, and she selected a card, and she gave it to him. She said, "This is our most popular card." He opened it up, and the message read, "To the only girl I have ever loved." And he said, "I'll take six of these." Well, you know, this is a man who needed to decide. And in his case, I'm not even sure his intentions were good. Mere intentions are not enough. A life built on the foundation of right commitments that lead us to right actions is what is enough. There is another famous quote, "To know what is right and to not do it is the worst cowardice." We must act in life. We must do. It takes commitment that leads to action. The commitments that matter are the ones that come from what is inside of us, what is on the inside in our hearts. You know, that shapes what we are on the outside. You see, silence is not always golden. Sometimes it is yellow. And we don't decide because we lull ourselves into the complacency that somehow with good intentions we're covered. We have this false comfort that comes from good intentions. We put things off. And we put things off. And we say, well, there will be another day. There will be a better time. But not here, not now, not me, not us. You know, I'm going to wait until the time is better. But the perfect time never comes. And our Christian walk becomes a lukewarm limp because we have convinced ourselves that we have plenty of time. One of the things that I finish up almost every eulogy I give, if you've heard me do a few, you have heard me say it every time, is this. The only thing that we take from this life is our relationship with Jesus. And you know that's true. The only thing that lasts forever is eternity. Everything else is temporary. Yet it's those lasting values and commitment, those eternal things that we are always postponing in our lives. We have convinced ourselves that there will come some time in the future when the things of God will be more convenient for us. If we read the book of James, though, in the fourth chapter, you will find this sentence. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Now I'm not trying to depress anybody, but the reality is that no matter how old we are or what situation we are in life, we should live each day like it is our last because it could be. Augustine said, God has promised forgiveness to our repentance, but he has not promised tomorrow to our procrastination. Do not delay. Act now on the challenges you face in your life and in your faith. You know, not long ago in high school, there were three military recruiters. They showed up to address the high school seniors, all the high school seniors. You have all been here. Graduation was a few months away. The military men were there to kind of encourage the seniors, the men and women, to consider the military, options that military service would provide them. The meeting was to last 45 minutes. Every recruiter, Army, Navy, and Marine, they were to have 15 minutes. Well, the Army and the Navy recruiters got carried away, and when it came time for the Marine to speak, he had 2 minutes. He walked up with 2 minutes to make his pitch, and he stood there for 60 seconds. He looked at his watch. Half of the time he had. When half of the time was over, he said this, "I doubt whether there are two or three of you in this room who could even cut it in the Marines. I want to see those two or three immediately after this talk in the dining hall when we are dismissed." And he turned and he sat down. When he arrived in the dining hall, there was a mob of students that were there to talk to him. They had acted immediately. You see, he had appealed to the heroic commitment that is in every heart. Most of us know what we should do. Then why not do it today? Most of us know who we should be. Why not start being that person today? Why postpone your life of faith and your commitment to God through procrastination? We hop from one foot to the other because we are caught up in the false comfort of good intentions and procrastination. But there's something else. And it's called an avoidance denial syndrome. And actually, that's what happened to the people of Israel. You see, they were caught between their faithfulness to God and the powers of the state. Now, stick with me. Now, they should have worshiped God and God alone. But how could they go against the king and queen? I mean, after all, they're the king and queen. So the royal decree went out, build a pagan altar to Baal. So be it. What do I care? Build a few here, build a few there, avoid confrontation, kings and queens come and go. Tell yourself in your heart that you're really worshiping the one true God. What does it matter what you build? You know the old saying, to get along, you go along. That's the motto of an avoidance denial syndrome. Avoidance denial is the mistaken belief that we do not have to choose anything today for sure. Nothing could be further from the truth. No decision is a decision. By not practicing our faith, we contribute to the forces that deny the faith. By not participating in the church of your choice, supporting it with your time and your resources, you contribute to the forces that have made it their mission today to destroy the church. We have to make a choice. You must choose. Have you ever wondered what constitutes a New Testament saint? Well, I can tell you what that is. It's an individual who clings to Christ through good times and bad times, through happiness and heartbreak, through success and sadness. It is placing our hopes in something we know will last while the entire world around us is going to hell. When the pain and the violence and the chaos of our time dominates the news and destroys our sleep. It is acting on what we are counting on, that God has already won, and that He will give us the victory as well, even if we have to tie a knot in the rope and hold on. We have decided that we are going to keep the faith. It's not hopping on this foot a while, and then on that foot a while, to church every once in a while, there for the holidays. Faith, true faith, is something that we are committed to every day. It's in our heads. Now, the question that Elijah addressed to the people on the slopes of Mount Carmel were this: how long are you going to waver between two opinions? And that is such a relevant question for us today. If God is God, then serve Him. If Baal is God, then serve him. Which will it be? So we come to what is the crux of the matter. You must choose. In your life, who will you serve? Sitting on the fence is a choice. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters." The moment of choice comes to us all. You know, I can pinpoint the matter for you with a question, and here it is. When you think about your life, how are you spending your time and your talent and your treasure? The most precious thing we have is time. We can't recycle it. When it passes, it's gone forever. All we have is today, so treat it carefully with wisdom. But ask yourself, you know, does Christ have any claim on my time? Does Christ have any claim on my talents? You know, a talent to do any good has to be used. Opportunities are lost all the time because people who are extremely talented are standing on the sidelines. If all of the talent that I see on a weekly basis sitting in these pews ever gets totally unleashed for the cause of Christ, heaven help the non-believers in McKeensburg and New Ringgold. There is no chance for them. And even beyond, they don't have a chance. You know, I think it's often, though, the fault of the church that we don't challenge folks to give their time and talent. You know, sometimes we expect so little. And when you expect little, a little is what you get. We have come to say, what can the church do for me, when the question ought to be, what can I do for Jesus Christ? Do you think that the Church of Jesus Christ will make any kind of a lasting impact on this world with a bargain basement approach? Can it be that American Christians have fallen into the trap of our time? That what we really, really want is a vital and a growing church, but we don't want anything to depend on us? Since that day when the lightning flashed and the people fell on their faces, there has always been a moment of choice. Elijah reminds us that life is rooted in the choices we make. We must choose. We can't make it without him. But we will never find Christ or choose him if at some point we don't stop running. If at some point we don't stop fence sitting and we turn and we face him and we seek him and we respond to him. It's time to choose. Who will we serve, the Lord or the Baals? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we choose Christ. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Memorial Day is coming up. Wade will be bringing a message for us next week. I'm excited to hear it. And if you know what our regular Memorial Day service is, we have a brief service here. We go out into the cemetery. Bring your Kleenex, just saying. This week, John and I will be spending some working time up at the cabin. If you need me, Laura knows how to get a hold of me. Our benediction is taken from the Old Testament. Joshua. Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen.